from Mexico. What a blessing it is to have them. So, Brother Harris, are you ready to preach? Amen, brother. I'm going to turn it over to you. Thank you for being here. We might go a little overtime tonight, but I like that. Amen. It's like going to a baseball game and you go into extra innings. It's like you got more for your money. Amen. Amen, brother.
Amen. Well, at least 10 minutes over, and that it's already 10 minutes past. All right. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Lamentations. Lamentations, and let's look for chapter number 3, short book here. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. All right, so, and then Ezekiel and Daniel, so forth. So Lamentations, it's right there between some of those longer books. Probably not a common book to be preached out of, but the morning services, this is where the Lord led me for tonight, so spent the afternoon sorting that out. Amen. Amen. Lamentations chapter number 3. And you'll get the essence of where God's leading just as soon as I announce the verse. All right, verse 51. Verse 51, the Bible says, "Mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city." Thank you, Lord, for the blessings of the day. Now bless in your word, we ask. Have your perfect way. Be honored and glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. I was so excited when I heard that Brother Jones was going to be sharing his trip to Costa Rica. In fact, I didn't know anything about the trip or anything else, but when Pastor said, well, he was going to share his trip this evening, I thought, I'm so glad that I can be here. I've never been to Costa Rica. I'd love to go to Costa Rica. I could probably say that about every country in the world. I've never been there, but I'd love to go there. But I thought it was great too, because of course he was raised there till college, and I know what that's like. And then he had the opportunity to go back with his dad to Costa Rica, and that's just really special. I know what that's like. Amen. And then he had the opportunity to take his son to Costa Rica, and that's just really special. And, you know, I think my dad's in heaven now, but I went back with my dad. I was born and raised in Africa, as you know, and left when I was 15 because of a medical emergency with my sister. Came back, and then I didn't get to go back as a missionary kid, but by that time I was in 11th grade of high school, and my folks left us, my older brother and I, here in the States to finish our high school. And God's calling on my life to preach. Originally, I thought I would be back in Africa. I never planned to go anywhere but Africa. I'm sure you've heard that song, "Be a missionary every day. Tell the world that Jesus is the way, be it in the town or country or the busy avenue. Africa or Africa, the choice is up to you." That's how I always sang it, you know, and the first time I had an opportunity to meet the lady that's now my wife. We had a youth activity, and I asked her if she would go with me on a youth activity, and asked her dad if I could take her. And I asked the youth director, because I didn't know her or the church or anything at the time, and you know, a little bit about her. And first of all, he goes, "Well, what do you want to know?" I said, "Well, she's saved." And he goes, "Well, yeah." I said, "Okay." And then I wanted to know, is she a good Christian? And the youth director said, "She's the best in our youth group." And I thought, okay, I'm heading the right way here with this. And we went to that youth activity, and then I, you know, kind of tried to sort out if she had any interest of, you know, continuing down that road. And I said, "But I have to tell you something first off." and this might affect your answer. I said, I'm going to be a missionary to Africa, and if you don't want to be tied to somebody that's going to be a missionary to Africa, you just need to speak up right now. And you'd say, did you ask all of them? I'd ask every single one that ever wanted to go basically that order. Are you saved? Are you living for God? And would you be a missionary's wife to Africa? Because if not, my mom said every date's a potential mate, and I don't want to be sidetracked. And so I was headed to Africa when we got married, when we were dating, when we got married, and then I didn't. I did go. In 1986, my dad and I went back out to Africa for 3 months. My wife was expecting our first child. We don't have any medical, anything like that. And mom was tired. And so her and my mom and my wife stayed here in the States. And my dad and I went out to Africa in 1986. And I got to see Africa like Brother Jones got to see Costa Rica on that trip he just took. As I said, my dad's in heaven now, but I can guarantee you that if he had ever called in the last, since 86, however long that's been a while, hadn't it? And said, son, I'm going back to Africa. Can you go with me? I would have said, when are we leaving? And I'm pretty well guarantee you that if I'd said, Ezra, let's go, and Ezra said, let's do it, Dad, and he would have got to see that, and that would have been a special thing. So thank you on behalf of Micah for allowing him to go. It's going to change his life. It has changed his life. And thank you on behalf of Brother Jones for helping him go. And amen. Here the Bible says, mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city. And I was excited to see the slide presentation. And it's kind of old school, Brother Jones. I like that. It wasn't all flashy DVD stuff. It was just like, next slide. Amen. I don't know if you watched that and it didn't affect you, then you weren't watching. And so the Bible says, mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city. Here in Lamentations, of course, Lamentations means crying. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet, the man that wrote this, that God used to write this book, and it's a book of weeping. What's he crying about? So I just kind of, my eye hath affected mine heart, and I want to take that and just as a church tonight, and the recent trip that one of your own has been able to take to Costa Rica, and one of your young men has now taken to Costa Rica. And let me stop and say thank you, church, for those men that came down last year to Mexico, and we did have a great time, and God kept us safe, amen. And I'm sure some of you have looked back at those few days that you spent with us in Magdalena, and you look back now with fond memories, but at the time and since then, you've been able to say, you know, that's really, it's affected me, and it should. And as Pastor's already said, if you do have an opportunity to go someplace, make sure you're going where God wants you to go, amen. And then just do whatever sacrifice you need to do to go, because it should affect your heart. My kids were raised on the mission field, but one of the desires of my heart with my children was that each one of them would be able to take a missions trip, even though we were on the mission field. And I'd say, you know, if the opportunity arises, then take a trip to somewhere else but where you've been. And see what God has for you. Mine eye hath affected mine heart. Now I'm going to take this and in the next few minutes, if I can, let's go back to chapter 1. And there's several times here that Jeremiah is talking about his eye being affected. In verse 16, he says, "For these things I weep, mine eye, runneth down with water, because the comforter that should relieve my soul is far from me. My children are desolate because the enemy prevailed. I'm not going to go into the context, but mine eye hath affected my heart. Let me. So number one, there, what affects our heart are the conditions. And I thank you, Brother Jones, for, we saw Costa Rica. It's a beautiful country. It means rich coast. It's a rich land. It's beautiful. And it's great to see that. But the emphasis that Brother Jones shared with us was the people. The emphasis that he shared with us was the chains, spiritual chains that hold them. In Catholicism, I think here in the States, is kind of an accepted, and they've hidden the idolatry that is Catholicism in the States, to my understanding of it. We had it in Africa, and we have it, of course, in Mexico. And a lot of times when we have people come down and they see the openness of the chains of Catholicism, it just really just amazes people that people are so yoked with that burden. And then number three, Brother Jones showed us the churches that are being started in Ephesians 3. 20 is your pastor's favorite verse, and then in verse 21, now 20 says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, to him be glory in the church." God receives glory in church ministry. God receives glory in church work. And you know, if you can help anybody in any way, do it, because the Bible says Jesus went about doing good. Amen? When we go out and pick up ladies, and let me say this, we had a lady saved today in Magdalena by the name of Maria. I'm planning to leave a lot more often now, and you know. We were working with Maria. Actually, we've been working with Maria for 15 years. In the last 4 or 5 months, maybe not even that, she's finally started coming to church, and she got saved today. You know, we go out to a place called Mesquite. We went out to Mesquite, I think, when you were there, and we had to ford the river and go out there. And I just, the train went through, and I didn't catch it. So let me... Let me see if I can still hear the whistle of it. But anyway, there's a lot of okay, this is where I was. I got the train. If you have an opportunity to help somebody, help them. So we go out to Mesquite every service. And you know, right now I've got I've got three routes going, and that through the end of the month, and then I've got to take over the second route again. And so, you know, every service we'll leave an hour and 45 minutes before church, and after everything's done, we'll be home an hour and 45 minutes after church, just because of everywhere we run to take people home. And why? Well, because people need the Lord. But we go out to Mesquite, and almost every trip out to Mesquite, I either pick somebody up going or I pick somebody up coming back. Not coming to church, but just because they need a ride way out there in the WAPs of Mesquite. And if you have an opportunity to do good unto all men. And so help out. And I'm not against, I'm all for helping out, that's what I'm saying. But wait a minute, what I'm really saying is this, is that what really matters is the soul of men. And if you can, you know, help a person that's hungry, help them. If you can help a person that's tired, help them. If you can help a person that needs a medication, help them by all means. But if you, the number one thing, what shall it profit a man if he'll gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And so what I'm trying to, I guess, trying to caution Cornerstone Baptist Church about is don't ever lose sight of the real need, which is Jesus Christ. If you can help them in other ways, help them. By all means, help them. Do good to thy fellow man. You know, but what we need to emphasize is the need of their soul. And I've seen a lot of missionary work in my life that is falsely so called because they never present the gospel of Christ. If it's going to open a door, then open the door. But if it's not going to open a door, if that's not the plan of whatever you're doing, then just don't do it. Let somebody else. There's plenty of other quote-unquote religious organization, churches, and et cetera, that can pick that up, and they will, because, you know, you can take pictures of poverty, and you can take pictures of disease, and you can take pictures of all these other things, and you really twist the emotion of people, and people want to help, and all of a sudden you got all this flowing into the helping people, but the greatest help is their soul. And so, my eye hath affected my heart in seeing what we saw, and I saw the conditions. And I'm not talking about, you know, Brother Jones didn't show us the deep poverty of the area and the, you know, and some things that he could have shown and really tugged at our heartstrings, but he was on focus of showing us the great need that there is for a Savior in the country because of the lost conditions, and only Jesus saves. And my eye ought to be affected by the conditions that I see. And again, so I'm trying to explain to you, I'm not talking about the conditions of poverty. I'm not talking about the conditions. Let me go back to Maria that got saved, today, but 15 years ago. I don't remember exactly how we met the family. And we went to try to help them. And they were living in this literal cardboard shack out there in Mesquite. And they had just had their son, Alberto, and we went in there, and it's just stifling hot in this little cardboard shack, and they've got Alberto laying there, and he's just skin and bones. I mean, he was just, and my wife actually leaned over to me, and he's just covered in flies, and my wife leaned over to me and says, "Do you think he's alive?" And I said, "Yeah, he's alive." And now he's a 15-year-old or 13-year-old kid or something like that. And we've helped him out with food and money. And today she got saved. Amen. But the condition that affected us was not that poverty. The condition that affected us, again, every day they passed me by. And I can see it in their eyes. People need the Lord.
Yep, yeah, that's right.
People need the Lord. And it's not, I can show you pictures from Africa of diseases and illnesses and accidents and all that would just turn your, you know, and then I can pass a plate and boy, yeah, okay, yeah, we got to help this missionary out. But sometimes it's hard to show the real suffering there is of the rich man in hell lifted up his eyes being in torments. Send somebody. And so conditions ought to affect our eyes. So we find the conditions and then look, if you will, in chapter 3 and verse 48. So in chapter 1, verse 16, he's talking again here about weeping. And he says, "Why do I weep?" And he says, "Because of the conditions." And so as we see missionaries come through, and Brother Jones's presentation, that condition of that just those chains of Catholicism ought to just cause us. It ought to, the condition that they're in just ought to affect our heart. And then number two, we find, if you will, the compassion. In chapter 3, verse number 48, he says, "Mine eye runneth down with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughter of my people." It's talking about compassion. My eye runneth down. The condition ought to affect our compassion. Yeah. How can we, as a child of God, rejoicing in the benefits that God has given us as a people, as a nation, as a church, not have compassion on the greater need around us. And that was what was my goal, and I'm sure it's the same with Brother Jones and taking his son down to be able to go with his granddad, was to affect him. That his life's not going to be the same. He's had the opportunity to go back, not only just to see where his dad was raised and where granddad's worked for so many years and is still working, but to go and see that greater need of people and have a compassion that just continues throughout his life. Whatever God calls him to do, it doesn't matter, but he's got a compassion. He's raising a generation that understands why we support missions and missionaries, and why we have this emphasis in our churches is to reach the lost, no matter the cost. And so there's the compassion. Let me read to you in 1 John chapter 3. I think it's interesting that it's 1 John 3:17. It's almost like John 3:16, right? But it's 1 John 3 and then 17. The Bible says, in verse 16, talks about, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And then verse 17 says, but whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him. Here's a question: how dwelleth the love of God in him? For God so loved the world, he gave. For Stephen so loved God, he would give. You understand what it's saying? And so we find my eye hath affected because of the conditions that I've seen, but my eye hath affected my compassion that is shared. Now I want to do something. I mean, I when we first started deputation back in 1986. And we would travel around. We would be in a lot of missions conferences. And it was the wound of not being going back to Africa was really fresh and deep. Yesterday, I was working with my son Ezra and was out at the property. And my older brother was there, and he was working with me. And my older brother and I were doing the same job at that specific time. And we had picked up some 2x4s that we had laid down and everything. And I threw my 2x4 up to, you know, just to grab it better. And I shoved this huge splinter through my hand, and I said, ouch, to myself. But I was busy. And so, you know, it's several minutes later, and the board I was holding had gotten really sticky. And I looked down the board, and it looked like somebody had been beheaded. I looked over at my older brother, and he was going. And I said, Joel, did you get a splinter? He's like, he looks up and says, yes, what happened to you? And I've got blood running down my hand, you know, and it's just, I bleed easy. It's not a big deal, you know, and I pulled it out and we went on our way. But going back to this, why I'm saying that is, how can I, we have so little splinters, and the world has these jagged things hanging out of them, and, oh, well, how can we do that? I think, you know, the Apostle Paul said, remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he said it was better to give than to receive. Yeah. And I ask people, when I think of that, I ask people, I said, how many of you would rather trade places with some African in the Central African Republic that's never heard the gospel, that has a lifespan of 43 years? Do you understand why it's more blessed to give than to receive? Yeah. Would you rather be here tonight having an opportunity to give, or there hoping somebody would bring the gospel to you? We are so blessed. Yeah. And so my eye hath affected my heart because of the conditions. My eye hath affected my heart because of It causes a compassion. And then in verse number 49 here in Lamentations, so he says, "Mine eye trickleth down and ceaseth not without any intermission." If I can convince you, and if I can persuade you, and if I can emphasize to you that the conditions have affected our eyes, our heart, the compassion that is needed because our eye is affected. But in verse 49, it's talking about the continuation that is needed. You know, don't just after a missions conference be gung-ho about getting out and winning souls in your own area and supporting these missionaries. But as verse 49 says, "And ceaseth not without any intermission." What you and I need to know as the born-again child of God is that it's not an on-again, off-again. It's not a flip-the-switch, flip-it-off switch. It's a 100% commitment of life to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And there ought to be a continuation that is sure. And then verse 51, the verse we started with, we find, "Mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city." The word, there's a consequence. "Mine eye hath affected mine heart." There's a consequence. The Spanish Bible here says, "Mis ojos construyeran," constrain my corazón, almost 100%. My eyes have constrained my heart. My eyes have affected my heart. There ought to be a consequence or constraint. Again, a constraint that is scriptural. How can you say that you love God whom you've never seen when you don't love your brother who you have seen? In 1 John, what's the consequences then, if you will, of "mine eye hath affected my heart"? Let me give you three and I'll be done just that quick, okay? Again, there's a condition. "My eye hath affected my heart." I've seen something that's just changed me. Yeah. Yeah. A song that used to say, "Lord, I'm so tired of being," what's the word? "But not being changed." There was a song, "Stirred and not being changed." But if we really see the harvest as the Lord sees the harvest, it's not going to just stir me, but it's going to change me. And now I'm different now. The compassion that Christ has commanded us to have, the continuance, the consequence, the constraint that is scriptural. There's three things that the scriptures then teaches us, constrains us. Number one is the prayer of faith. If we continue reading here in our passage in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 55, he says, "I called upon thy name, O Lord, out of the low dungeon." Verse 56, "Thou hast heard my voice. Hide not thine ear at my breathing, at my cry." Verse 57, "Thou drewest near in the day that I called upon thee. Thou saidest, fear not." The cause of having my heart affected by that which I have seen as far as the need of the world for Christ, number one, is there it will cause a prayer of faith. I believe the Lord has heard me pray. I believe the answer's on the way. And that's what Jeremiah is saying after he says, "Mine eye hath affected my heart," and he says, it's caused me to send up a prayer of faith that, "God, you help me help others. God, you help me be compassionate. God, you help me." And the effect, the consequence, the constraint that is scriptural will be a prayer of faith. And the greatest need that your missionaries have is that prayer of faith and faithfulness of God's people. Brethren, pray for us. Many times I've been said, Brother Harris, you know, Pastor Harris, if we just knew what had been happening, we would have prayed more for you. And just pray. God knows what's happening. Just pray. And, you know, I can tell you stories of, I'll take the time if I can. You allow me to do that? My dad, I've got a picture, and I may have shared this with you on my study wall. And it's a picture that my dad took of our setup one night. We'd been traveling all day, and we got into a village, and we lived right on the equator, and so 5 o'clock in the afternoon, the sun went down. 5 o'clock in the morning, the sun came up, 365 days a year, you know. And we'd been traveling. I was only 2 or something like that, so I don't remember this, but I just know it from what I've been told in the picture that's there. And we'd been traveling through the jungle of Africa, and I got stuck, broke down, you know. Whatever happened, and Dad hadn't gotten to where he wanted to get by that day, and so we kept on traveling through the evening, which was, it's dark, I mean, pitch dark. There's no light nowhere, and it's in a jungle, you're not going to see stars, you know, and it's just dark, and so we kept traveling. We finally got to the village that Dad wanted to go to at 9 o'clock at night, which would be the equivalent of, you know, 1 in the morning for you and I, as far as they've all gone to bed at 5 o'clock, you know, the sun went down. And so he dismissed, we had a couple of pastors on the truck with us, and he dismissed them to go into the village, and we, you know, set up our camp, which was 2 army cots and a baby bed, and my mom and dad and my older brother and I, and a mosquito netting that covered the whole thing. And set the mosquito netting up and went to bed right in the clearing in a jungle. Slept great all night long. In the morning, my dad got up and went into the village to greet the pastor in that village. And as he walked in the village, he had to step over a fire ring that was still smoldering. And I didn't think too much about it and walked in and woke the pastor up. The pastor was, you know, should have been up and around, but just dreary and wore out. And just, you know, like you do, he said, "How did you sleep last night?" And the pastor looks at my dad and said, "Missionary, are you kidding?" Dad goes, "No." He goes, "Missionary, nobody slept last night. We were attacked by a pride of lions. They've killed 3. We had to be up all night to keep that ring of fire burning, to keep the pride of lions out of our village." And then the pastor looked at Dad and said, "Where were you?" And he said, "Well, we were on the outside of the ring over there in that clearing in the jungle. We slept great." And they walked over there, and this is the picture that I have when Dad took this picture. There was not an area of that clearing that did not have paw prints on it. The lions had, you could tell the lions had slept on the back and the hood of our truck. But he had sent his angel. My dad told that story, and he was in Michigan, Dearborn, Michigan, told that story in a supporting church. A man came up to him after a friend and said, "Ward, what day was that?" Dad thought back and said, "Well, it was such and such a time." "What time was it?" And the man said, "You know, that night, God had just woke me up and put you on my heart. And he wouldn't let me go back to sleep. And I got down on my knees and I prayed for a couple of hours for Ward Harris." You don't need to know the circumstances. You just need to know God.
Yep.
And a prayer of faith. And what the eye affecteth my heart ought to cause us is a consequence. It ought to be a prayer of faith. God, I'm going to pray in faith that God would do. Number 2, there ought to be the consequence is a participation of force. What do I have that I can participate with? If there's a compassion, the difference between love and charity in the King James Bible is specific, and the difference is that love, any man can say, "I love you," But when a man has charity, it's love in action. It's a love that produces an action. It's more than just a word. It's now an action. And we ought to love God to such a point that it becomes a charity in our life, that it produces an action. And a consequence of having my eye affected by what I've seen ought to be a participation of the force that God has given me, the strength that God has given me, the finances that God has given me, the whatever it is that God has given me, that I would say, Lord, whatever I have is yours, and I want to be participating in this. And my eye hath affected my heart. And you say, Brother Harris, how come you're so 100% on this missionary thing? And it's because my eye hath affected my heart. And I just can't get away from it. I've seen too much of what sin does. I've seen too much of the hold of Catholicism. I've seen too much. My eye hath affected my heart. It just put me, my whole heart there. Prayer, faith, the participation of force. And if you continue going on and here in chapter 5, as he ends this book, in chapter 5 and verse number 21, his prayer says, turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. And in Jeremiah, the same prophet in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, and I can't quote it, so I'll probably have to go back here and read it, but Jeremiah 29, verse 11, you know the verse. I just can't quote it. It says, God is speaking, and he says, for I know that the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And then put it in a New Testament verse, be 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 56, where the Bible says that we ought not to be weary in well-doing. How's that go exactly? For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And so the consequence of having my eye affected by what I've seen, whether in person or through presentations like we just saw, ought to be a perception. All right, so it was a prayer of faith. Number two, a participation of force. And then number three, a perception of favor. I know the thoughts that I'm thinking towards you, God says, and I got something good for you. And if we could just understand that whatsoever you do is not in vain. We ought to have a perception of knowing that, as Paul said to Philemon concerning Onesimus, all that he owest, I will repay. I've written it with mine own hand. Howbeit, I do not say unto thee how thou owest unto me thine own life besides. And we owe a debt that we could not pay. And mine eye hath affected my heart, but I have this perception of favor that it's okay. It's okay. Because God's in control. And God, I know the thoughts that God thinks towards me. They're of good, not bad. And God just wants to do me good all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I know the thoughts. I have that perception of the favor of God in my life. And only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And so why am I not doing more? God, thank you for the opportunity to share your word in this small way this evening. Thank you for the slides, pictures, and video testimony that we saw from Brother Jones and his son. And thank you for such a golden opportunity given unto them. And thank you that, Lord, it was shared with this, your church. Receive honor and glory as you do through the church, and we'll give you the honor and praise that's due your name. We love you. Thank you for bringing things into our life that have affected our heart. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand with your heads bowed, your eyes closed. You just do exactly what God